want to hit on a topic which is very common that we speak about as a church, but I find in my own personal life that if I'm not feeling very zealous for the Lord, if you know, I'm not talking about so much now as a pastor because things have changed, I've matured to a certain point. But I just remember as a Christian growing up in church and trying to walk in accordance to God's ways, one of the major things that would fall out of my Christian life when I'm just not walking with the Lord as best as I should is prayer. Prayer would be something that would just fall off my list of things to do. Where I would go days, I would go weeks, just not ever really going to, yeah, maybe saying a prayer before a meal, maybe just your basic prayer before bedtime, thank you Lord for the day, but really spending time with the Lord in prayer. You know, I remember that was just something that would often fall off my list of things to do. And if you look at James chapter 5 verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, for another, that ye may be healed. And then it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, brethren, this is true. The effectual, fervent prayer. When you think about this idea of fervent prayer, we're talking about a prayer of passion, of zeal, of excitement, coming for the Lord, a fiery prayer, you know, pouring out our heart before the Lord. You know, this type of prayer is effectual. This prayer gets answered. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, praise God that if you're saved, you are a righteous man. You are a righteous child because you stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And of course, don't forget we also have our own righteousness that we're trying to walk in accordance to God's ways, His will. And look, the more closer that we are to the Lord, as we go before Him in this effectual, fervent prayer, we're going to have prayers answered. The title for the sermon this afternoon, brethren, is The Power of Prayer. The Power of Prayer. You know, I've never been so convinced in my life that God answers prayer. I've always known that. I've always, you know, does God answer prayer? Of course He answers prayers. But I've never been so convinced because it just seems like every time I go to the Lord needing something, He gives it. He answers it. Or He answers it in a way that I just wasn't expecting. In a better way, a much greater way. I'm not just talking my own prayers. I'm talking about just praying for other people. You know, there are people that have, you know, can you please pray for me about this? A week later, that prayer gets answered. They've got what they want. And, you know, the reason prayer sometimes falls off our agenda is sometimes we have this idea of just like, you know, just a coincidence. You know, can you pray for me about X, Y, and Z? And then X, Y, and Z gets answered. And we just, oh, that's just a coincidence, I suppose. We forget to thank God, but no, we need to remember that our God is the creator of this universe. Our God is a miraculous God. You know, even if the world is going a certain way, and it just seems almost impossible for God to do something, for Him to step in. No, He can change the events of this natural world to just answer your prayer. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so important. And the reason I'm just preaching about this common topic is simply because I know, just remembering that this was something that fall off my agenda, not going to the Lord in prayer. I just wonder how many missed opportunities I had, you know, where I could have had an answer to prayer and I just didn't go to the Lord about it, okay? So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, it's amazing what God can do. If we just speak a few words to Him, you know, fervently, in faith, and we speak to our Lord God. And I'll tell you, number one, why I believe prayer is so powerful. It's because as we, you know, as we live our Christian life, we have different responsibilities, right? You know, such as going to church, like reading our Bibles, like maybe preaching the gospel, you know, confessing our fault, that's part of prayer anyway. But we have different responsibilities that we should be striving to do on a daily basis. But when it comes to prayer, this is one space in your life that you're actually invoking the triune nature of God, the Trinity, okay? When we come to church, we often talk, yeah, I mean, of course, I'm not saying the Trinity is not here. I'm not saying that, you know, the Lord says He's in our midst. The Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. All right, I'm not saying that the triune nature of God isn't here, but when we go to God in prayer, we're actually invoking His triune nature, the three that make up our one Lord God. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 11, please. Turn to Luke chapter 11, verse number 2. Luke chapter 11, verse number 2. The purpose of this sermon is to encourage you to pray, to encourage you. Yes, you know, I love Wednesday nights. I love it when we pray together. Because, hey, you know, it's a good way to get into that habit, praying for one another, praying in front of each other. But we need to remember to pray in our own personal time to the Lord, okay? But Luke chapter 11, verse number 2. Luke chapter 11, verse number 2. Jesus Christ has given us the example of how to pray. And in verse number 2, it says, "And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." So, brethren, when we go and pray, who are we speaking to? The Father, right? The Father. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Let me encourage you, when you start to pray, don't just immediately just offload everything you need God to answer. "I have this need, I have that need, I have that need. Okay, dear Lord, I have this need, I have this need." You know what? When you get alone with the Lord, just hallow the name of the Lord. What does it mean to hallow? It means like holy. Just elevate the Lord God. Just praise God. Just tell God how great of a God he is. Just tell him how great of a Savior he is. You know, also, when we have our church service and, you know, we start with a hymn and we have that first opening prayer, we want that first opening prayer to be a prayer where we just hallow the name of the Lord. Where we just exalt the Lord God for who he is and for what he has given us. We want to make sure that's the first thing that comes out of our heart, just thanking God for the great God that he is. But I want you to notice there that when we do go into prayer, we're speaking to the Father. All right? Now go to John chapter 14. Turn to John chapter 14, verse number 13. John chapter 14 and verse number 13. John 14, verse 13. Jesus Christ once again teaching us about prayer. He says in John 14, 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Praise God. So, hey, what else do we learn? We speak to the Father as we go to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. And then when we ask things, we ask in the name of Jesus. This is why we often, you know, it's not just a tradition. It's not just a vain repetition. Please don't let this become a vain repetition in your prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Why do we do that? Because Christ instructed us. When we go and we ask in prayer, let's ask in the power of his name. Let me encourage you to use the name of Christ as we go to the Father in prayer. I mean, that's a guarantee from Jesus. "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you have that faith? Do you believe that whatever you ask of the Lord, he will do? I mean, it's quite interesting, eh? I mean, this isn't black and white. This isn't like, I might do it. You know, there's a 50% chance that I'll do it. No, Christ says, "If you ask in my name, I will do it." I believe in answered prayers. I believe in answered prayers. Now, how does God answer? Sometimes the answer is yes. Yeah, Lord, I need X, Y, and Z. Can you help me with X, Y, and Z? Yes, I can. Hey, that's a great way for prayers to be answered. But you know what? When God says no, it's still an answered prayer. He just answered no. Okay? And you just have to have the faith and the trust in God that if the answer is no, then it must be best for me. I mean, if this was something that was going to be the best for me, then why would God not say yes? If the reason he says no is because it's better if I don't have it the way I want it. Or sometimes he answers it in a much greater way than you need it in the first place. Another answer that God will give you is, well, wait. Yes, but wait. Yes, but not now. Okay? Wait for God's timing. In fact, all prayer at the end of the day is God's timing. But whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, it's going to reach the ears of our Father and he will answer that prayer. You know, it amazes me to think that the God of this universe, who holds it all in his hands, the heavens and the earth, right? I mean, every aspect, you know, from the, you know, things in the cosmic realm, things that are microscopic, the Lord knows every detail about everything there is to know, and that I can just go before God and he hears me. Like, it blows my mind. I don't know if that blows your mind. Or if I'm praying, maybe there's millions of other Christians praying at the same time, but God hears my prayer as though I'm the only one speaking. That blows my mind as well. That God knows everything, but he hears me as a son coming before him in the name, in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Can you please now turn to Ephesians chapter 6? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please, and verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18, please. The Bible reads, "Praying always," brethren, we should always pray. It should never fall off the agenda. Okay, praying always with all prayer and supplication, look at this, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what else do we learn here? That when we pray, we have to pray in the Spirit. Do you see how prayer invokes the triune nature of God? We go to God the Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, and we pray in the Spirit. Now, brethren, the fact that it says pray in the Spirit, that we are to pray always in the Spirit, you know what that tells me? The fact that it's written there tells me that sometimes we pray in the flesh. Sometimes we pray for our own selfish desires, and we're not right with God, we're not close to God, and we might spit out some prayer that means nothing really as far as the spiritual realm goes, and it's just selfish prayer, you know, carnal things that we say. I think it is possible to pray in the flesh, you know, and if we're not praying in the Spirit, it's not going to reach the ears of our Father. You know, yes, you'll say some words, it'll hit the ceiling and come back and hit you on the head, okay? But we need to remember to be in the Spirit. It's so important that we're close to the Lord. You know, not only when I go to prayer do I exalt my Lord God, but one of the next things I do immediately is just confess my sins. Lord, forgive me for the sins that I've committed. You know, I don't want there to be any separation between you and I. I don't want to be in any darkness. I want to be in your light. I want to be in your presence. Please forgive me for the wrong that I've done. You know, I want my prayers to not be hindered. I want them to reach our Heavenly Father, but we must pray in the Spirit. We must put off the old man, put off the flesh, and pray in the Holy Spirit. So prayer invokes the Trinity. That's what I love prayer so much. It's the fact that in that process, you know, we are touching Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we speak our request before the Lord. All right, please turn to another passage. Please turn to Colossians chapter 4. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. Why is it that prayer is often the thing that falls off? And I don't know. I don't know if you're the same as me, bro. I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest with you. I remember that being the major thing that would fall off my list. You know, being a pastor has kind of forced me to be more prayerful. Because that is one of the main responsibilities. If you look at the pastoral epistles, you'll often find that the instruction to pray for your people. You know, it's a major responsibility for pastors to pray. So I'm reminded of that. I'm always reading the pastoral epistles just to remind me what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't want to miss the mark there. Okay. And so as a pastor, I'm kind of forced more to pray because I know it's the right thing to do. But just going back, I remember before, it would be something that I just forget. Say, why? Why do you forget that? Because prayer requires labor. Prayer requires labor. It is not easy to pray. Okay, you say, well, of course it's easy. Just close your eyes, dear Father, say a few words. No, but we're talking about effectual, fervent prayer, okay, which availeth much. Okay, that kind of prayer requires a lot of labor. Look at Colossians 4, verse 12. Colossians 4, verse 12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Prayer requires you to labor fervently. This is why it's tiring. This is why, you know, when Christ asked his disciples to pray with him, they fell asleep. Because it requires work, it requires labor. You know what, how many times have you gone to bed, you know, ready to just say a prayer to the Lord, and then you've fallen asleep? You wake up in the morning. Did I finish that prayer? Right? I mean, you know, it's happened to me so many times. Okay, not only are you tired, not only are you tired from the day's events, but as you go before God, rest in your head, you say a few words, done. Because it requires labor. You know, it does require. It's a spiritual work that is required for you to do. Let's keep going there. Verse number 13, Colossians 4:13. For I bear him record that he have a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. All right, so you see, prayer, if you're going to pray fervently, if you're going to pray effective prayers, it requires labor. This is why when you've got that zeal, you've got a greater desire to go before God in prayer. And when you lose that zeal a little bit, so does the prayer life. So there's that laboring in prayer, praying for other people. You know, it's a good habit to pray for others. You know, I remember as a child, I think I learned this in Sunday school, but they used the, my teachers taught me basically the way we pray is by the word joy. I don't know if you guys have heard this before. Anyway, J represents Jesus. So just like we begin praising the Lord, thanking Him for who He is. So we speak of Jesus, and then the O in joy represents others. The idea was, before you start praying about all your needs, you know, try to remember the needs of other people. Yeah, that's exactly what Epaphras is doing. When he's laboring fervently in prayer, he's praying for his fellow brethren. And then he prays, you know, Y, joy, you, pray for yourself. Pray for the things that you need. I think that's a really good formula in which to pray. You know, elevate Christ, you know, think of others and needs of others, and then bring your requests before the Lord. But it requires labor, it requires effort. And I think this is why we sometimes get tired doing it. The other reason is, there are certain things in our Christian life that are very visible. You know, coming to church is a very visible thing. Preaching behind the pulpit is a very visible thing. You know, even speaking of the Bible can be a very visible thing. You know, if you know God's word, you can, you know, people can sort of get to know that you know God's word or you don't know God's word. But when it comes to prayer, it's not a visible thing, is it? It's something behind the scenes, you know, and sometimes that part of our life can drop off, that which is behind the scenes, because when something is very visible, you're going to make that extra effort, I suppose, to do what you're required to do. All right. I'm going to get you to turn to Psalm 145. Turn to Psalm 145. And I'm going to read to you from 1 John 5:14. You go to Psalm 145. I'm going to read to you from 1 John 5:14. And the Bible reads, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Maybe I should have got you to turn to this passage. But the point here is this. You say, well, I don't know. Am I praying in the Spirit or am I praying in the flesh? You know, are my prayers effective, Pastor Kevin? You know, maybe you say, you know, it just seems like God's not answering my prayer. Well, here's the thing. Here's how you can be sure that God answers your prayer. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will," okay, He heareth us. So this is what's, you know, important about growing as a Christian. Why is it so important to grow and be more Christ-like? You see, the more you're like Christ, then your will be closer aligned to the will of God. You'll be praying about things that is definitely within the will of God. And if your will lines up with God's will, you're asking that, which is God, what God wills for you, it will happen. God hears it. God will answer those things. See, a lot of times we don't get the prayer answered, or seemingly doesn't get answered, or we don't feel like God is hearing us. It's because we go to God with our own will. You know, "Lord, I need this, I need that." God says, "No, you don't need those things. No, I don't want to give you those things." And we don't necessarily always know why. But again, I just rest in the idea, in the thought that, well, God, you know best. You know what is best for me. And if maybe if I got what I wanted, I might not be a faithful Christian. If I got what I wanted, maybe I'd be selfish. I don't know. I don't know what the effects would be if I got those things when God says no. But the key is that we ask things in accordance to His will. You see, as you become more Christ-like, once again, your will is closer to the will of the Lord, and you'll experience more answered prayer than you've ever experienced before. I got you to turn to Psalm 145, verse number 18. So, why is prayer powerful? Number one, because it is the method by which God hears us. Okay, it's the method by which God hears us. Psalm 145, verse 18. Look at this, Psalm 145, verse 18. "The Lord is nigh," or "the Lord is near," if you want to use that word. "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." All right? So, I know we say when someone gets saved, we say, you know, "He called upon the name of the Lord." Yes, that's true. But we're talking about a believer right now. Someone that the Lord is close to. He's close to those that call upon Him. You see, if you want the Lord right by your side, if you want to be close to the presence of God, you must have a healthy prayer life. Now, look, what else does it say then? Verse number 15. "And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Isn't that interesting? If we want to be close to the Lord, we want Him to be hearing our prayers and answering our petitions, we must be nigh to the Lord. We must have a healthy prayer life. Prayer is powerful because it is the method by which God hears us. That is the number one method, okay, that God will hear what we have to speak of. I want you to also turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to turn to a few passages here. But Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Number two, point number two, it keeps God close. Okay, it keeps him close. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, please. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. Do you sometimes feel that the Lord is not that close by? Sometimes feel like he's far off. It's prayer that will keep you close to the Lord. Okay? It's that communion with the Lord. It's the fellowship with the Lord. Don't forget, you know, the Lord God is another being. You know, just like a friendship. You know, to maintain a healthy friendship, to maintain a healthy marriage, we must communicate. We must be in close proximity. We must have time of fellowship and enjoying one another's company. That's what prayer does. It helps us to be in the company, in the presence of our Lord God. It keeps God close by. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, speaking about Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Isn't that interesting? That God knows the temptations that we go through. Jesus Christ became a man. He was touched with our infirmities. He knows the pain that we go through. He knows the sicknesses that we suffer. He knows the temptations that we go through. You know what? God is not this God that is completely unrelatable. Jesus Christ become a man, fully understands the struggles that we go through. He understands why we fail. He understands why we commit sin. He understands the frailty of man. And this is why we can go to God and share with God our weaknesses, share with God when we failed, share with God when we sinned. Because God understands those things through Jesus Christ. And it says there in verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Brethren, where is the throne of God? It's in heaven, isn't it? You know, the Lord's throne in heaven, surrounded by the angels, surrounded in him and singing him songs of worship. You know, I mean, heaven's a busy place. All right, God's got his throne. And here's the thing, you think, well, how can I approach that throne? You just bow your head, dear Father. And there you are, transported spiritually before the throne of grace. You know what? And all of that noise in heaven, all of that praise, all that worship, God is able to turn to us and give us time and attention for the needs that we have. Let us come boldly. Amen. Sometimes I can't even lift my head to pray because I know I failed the Lord. I know I've sinned. And I've got to just remind myself, but I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. I'm saved. Right? I mean, God knows that I can't live this perfect life without any sin, which is why I needed a Savior in the first place. God knows these things. I'm his son. He wants me to come before him to the throne of grace to find mercy, to find help. And we need to remind ourselves when we feel that, man, should I really approach God's throne? Say, yes, I'm going to come boldly because I'm a child of God. And yes, I have weaknesses. Yes, I have sin. Yes, I have problems. This is exactly why I need to go to God for help. It's amazing that we can come before his throne. You know, we don't even have to be in heaven. We can just bow our head, close your eyes, whatever your practice is, and come before God's throne saying, God, help me, please. I have needs. What a beautiful thing. It's a place. You know, prayer is powerful because it's the place that we obtain mercy, grace, and help. Mercy. We need mercy, don't we? Man. You know, I'm so thankful that every time, you know, that God doesn't just strike me with lightning every time I do something wrong, right? I'm just thankful that he gives me space, you know, that he gives me time to fix things or gives me time to repent, gives me time to seek and to apologize and get things right with God. Mercy, grace, and help. Boy, I don't know how, I don't know how the unbelieving world even survive in this world without being able to go to God in prayer. Say, God is a crutch. Absolutely, he's a crutch. Isn't that what the atheists say? Oh, I don't believe in God. You guys just use God as a crutch. Yeah, I need that crutch. I need it. Because, you know what? This world is tough. You know, I'm a weak man. I make mistakes. I need someone that's going to support me. I need someone that's going to help me, that's going to lift me, that's going to give me the things that I need to be able to be successful in His will. So point number three, I'll just go through those points once again. Number one, prayer is powerful because it is the method by which God hears us. Number two, it is powerful because it keeps God close. Number three, it's powerful because where we obtain mercy, grace, and help. Can you please turn to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4, verse number 16. Sorry, verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Philippians 4, 6. The Bible reads, be careful. That means be full of care, okay, for nothing. What? Don't be full of care. Don't be all worried and anxious and concerned about everything. No, be careful for nothing. How do I do that? Man, we've had the unsettled, we had the COVID world. It's been all unsettled. We've got war there, Russia, Ukraine. You know, we've got the interest rates going up and we've got all this and we've got that. We've got all these concerns. God says, be careful for nothing. Can you do that? Can you be careful for nothing? Can you stop worrying? Say, how do I do that? It says here, but, so this is what we do instead. But in everything, brethren, everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Brethren, whatever it is that you're concerned with, whatever burden you've got, everything, just take it to God, and you be careful with nothing. You leave it in God's hands. Easier said than done, though, isn't it? But that's the instruction that God gives us. Yes, he's my crutch. I mean, God is much more than my crutch. Okay, I can take every concern, every need to my Father, and God wants me to be careful for nothing. He doesn't want me worrying. He doesn't want me anxious. He just wants me to leave it with Him and see what God can do with my problems. Okay? And I love it. It says there in verse number 7, and, so once you've done that, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is powerful, number four, because it gives you inner peace. It gives you inner peace. Now, brethren, you need to learn to leave those concerns to the Father. You need to go to the Lord in prayer, offload your burdens, and you've got to leave it there. You've got to leave it with God. What you do, and what I do many times, hey, God, I've got these burdens. Can you hold them? And then when we finish prayer, we pick up the burdens again. Thanks, God. I've got it now. It's like, oh, no, no. God says, leave it there and be careful for nothing. Leave it in God's hands. Again, easier said than done. But when you are able to do this, you will have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You know what that means? That no one can understand why you're so peaceful. Oh, but what if Australia goes to war? I'll be at peace. What if interest rates go through the roof? I'll be at peace. What if the financial system collapses? I'll be at peace. What if there's a COVID variant monster and it kills 90% of the population? I'll be at peace. Well, we should be at peace. Okay, be careful for nothing. Can you do that? That's the power of prayer. Where the whole world can be burning and you're like, this is all good. I'm at peace with my Lord God. It passeth all understanding. You know what? The world can look at you and just not understand, why are you so peaceful? Why are you just not full of care? Why aren't you just anxious and worried like the rest of us? Because I've got the peace of God. I took my burdens, I left it with the Lord. You know, when I heard that illustration, one of my old pastors, we pray, we take the burdens, and then we thank you, Lord, I'll put it back on my shoulders, and we walk away. I said, yep, that's exactly what I've been doing my whole life. And now I've learned, I'm just going to leave it in your hands. And we need to learn that. If you haven't learned that, you need to do it. You need to apply this. Okay? I want you to understand the power of prayer. I want you to be able to understand and appreciate the inner peace that God gives you. We can just leave it in the hands of God. Can you please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2? 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. First Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Now we have government elections coming up, and so I strongly encourage you to meditate upon this passage. All right. Even if you think that voting makes no difference, it probably doesn't, okay? But I still want you to meditate on this verse. You know, voting may not make any difference, but prayer makes a difference, okay? And it tells us here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So what else does the power of prayer give us? It allows us to live a life with minimal troubles. How often do we take our government to prayer before the Lord? How often do we pray for our Prime Minister and our Premier? Say, I don't want to. Yeah, neither do I. But God tells us to do it. Okay, to pray for these people. Why? Why are we praying for them? Yes, so they pass laws that are godly. All right? That God will change their hearts. That God will do a mighty work there in Canberra. You know? That God will take down the wicked politicians and replace them with some God-fearing politicians. I know full well that we're never going to have this righteous Christian Australian nation. I understand that. I understand the politicians that are in there are not necessarily going to be saved. But at the very minimum, what I want, and I believe it's achievable, is for those politicians to have a fear of the Lord. Just to know there is a God, and I've been given a great responsibility to pass laws, to make judgments here in this nation. If they just had a fear of God, all of them, this would be a completely different nation. Okay? We need to go before God and ask, Lord, can you pray for these things? That we may live a quiet and peaceable life. That's what we want to achieve. Hey, we want the government to leave us alone. You say, the past 2 years, Pastor Kevin, the government has not left us alone. Yeah, you know why? Because I don't think Christians have been praying for their government. That's what I think. I think Christians around the world have not been praying for the politicians because they are so wicked, because we don't want to even lift consider their names in prayer. But what's caused is the oppression that we saw. You know, all the mandates, all these things that came to be, you know, well, I'm thankful for everything that we've gone through, but it's reminded me, man, we've just not been praying for these people. You know, if they disrupt our lives so much, and God is a God that is telling us this honest truth here, that if we bring these kings before Him in prayer, that we'll be able to live this quiet and peaceable life. So, brethren, it allows us to live a life with minimal troubles. We've got elections coming up. I don't care who wins. I don't care if it's a Labor or Liberal. I don't care if it's some minor party that disrupts things. All I care about is, are we lifting these people in prayer? You know, ask God to take down the wicked ones, the ones that are bringing in godless laws. You know, ask God to bring in people with a fear of God. You know, ask the Lord that He would change their hearts. You know, we read through the Bible so many stories of kings and governors that are wicked, but then God can change their hearts and do something miraculous within them. And, you know, we want the same here in Australia. We need the same thing here in Australia. All right, can you please go to Matthew 26? Turn to Matthew 26 and verse number 40. Matthew 26 and verse number 40. The power of prayer. What else does prayer do for us? Well, in Matthew 26 verse 40, I kind of mentioned this story before, but it says, "And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Brethren, prayer is powerful because it gives you the power to overcome temptations. What did it say there, verse 41? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. You know what? If you're being tempted to sin, you know, the lust of the flesh has come to be, and the pride of life, and you just know, man, I want to commit this sin. But you know what? The new man says, no, it does not want to. You know what you do? Go to God in prayer. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You need to have that spiritual connection with the Lord. Lord, I'm being tempted. Can you please help me overcome? Help me find a way of escape out of this temptation. You know, as soon as you just got that temptation to sin, say, God, help me. Lord, I'm being tempted right now. It's got the power to help you overcome sins. overcome temptations. You know why? Because, again, that prayer is you know, keeps us in that close proximity with the Lord. You know, we don't want to like, you know, I guess sometimes when we sin, we kind of think, oh, God, you know, he's far out there somewhere. Maybe he's not paying attention to me. But when we're going to God in prayer, and we know we have a choice to sin or not, and we know, man, God, now I'm in the presence of the Lord. I've gone before his throne of grace. You know what? That spirit's going to be empowered and be like, how can I possibly sin before the presence of my Lord God? It'll help you overcome temptations. All right, can you please turn to Mark chapter 11? Turn to Mark chapter 11. We've got two more passages to turn to. Just Mark chapter 11, verse number 23. Mark 11, verse 23. What about this passage in the scripture, in Mark 11, 23? Jesus Christ says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Again, brethren, this is in the Bible. Okay, so when we go to God in prayer, what are we doing? We're believing that this prayer will be answered. We're believing that God is capable of changing the laws of nature, the laws of whatever it is, brethren, just to step in and answer this lowly Christian's prayer. To answer my need, can you place your faith? Just as much as you've placed your faith on Christ for salvation, that same trust when you go before God, I know God will listen. I know God's going to answer with the best possible answer that he can give me. Hey, we go with that attitude, brethren, and you're going to see amazing things happen in your prayer life. Amazing things that will blow your mind. You know, I told you at the beginning, I've never seen God just answer so many prayers. It just keeps happening. And I shouldn't be surprised, but it kind of is surprising sometimes. Like, hey God, you stepped in, you've heard me. You've heard my brother's prayer, you've heard my sister's prayer, and you've done something about that, Lord. We're that important to you. Yes, we're that important to him. But we just have to apply that trust, that faith, the same faith that you put on salvation. Now trust him with your needs. Trust him with your prayer life. Can you do that? God says, look, those things will be answered. You'll get exactly what you want. But don't forget, it's got to be in accordance to his will. All right? I've had conversations, you know, God's not hearing me. Now that's an issue. You know, if you truly believe that God's not hearing you, you're almost saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying, listen, you're a child of God. If you're saved, you're a son, you're a daughter of the Lord. Of course the Lord will hear you, okay? It's just that maybe your prayer life is not what it should be. You know, it might not be that effectual, fervent prayer. It might just be that short, thank you, Lord, for today, amen. All right, thank you, Lord, for the food, amen. You know, no. We need to take prayer seriously. We remember who we're speaking to somebody. Could you imagine if I spoke to my wife like that? Like, she cooks a meal for us, right? And I take a bite. Ah, great, honey, see ya. You know, you know what? My wife's cooked a meal, right? Thank you. It's the best meal I've ever had. Whatever it is, this is awesome. This is delicious. Thank you for making this. And mean it. You know what? I mean, why would God just want to just have this little chat with you where you just spit a few words? Hey, I said my prayers. When you stop, when's the last time you really prayed hard? When's the last time you truly shed some tears? You truly cried out, maybe verbally, maybe in your heart to the Lord God. When's that last time that you had that sweet hour of prayer with God? It's probably been a long time. I don't know. I don't know what your prayer life is like. But we need to understand that we're speaking to our Heavenly Father. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to hear our requests. And he wants to answer our prayers. We just have to ask in the right way. I'll just quickly read to you from James 4, verse 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." That's one reason why your prayer doesn't get answered. Because it's out of your lust. It's something you believe you want or you need, but God says, no, it's coming. It's not a prayer of the Spirit. It's a prayer coming from the flesh. And God says, no. You ask amiss. There is power in prayer. Truly, we can ask God to do amazing things, and He's already come through and answered many of our prayers. Okay, one more passage. Please turn to Romans 8. Romans 8:26. One of my favorite things about prayers, about prayer. Romans 8:26, please. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. The closer you are to the Lord, the closer you are to His will, the more you're going to see your prayers answered. All right? But we're still human beings. We still don't always necessarily ask exactly the right things. We may not necessarily pray exactly the right way. This is why it's so important that we pray in the Spirit, okay? Because it tells us here in Romans 8:26. And when I say pray in the Spirit, you guys know I'm not talking about some charismatic Pentecostal jargon, okay? I'm talking about putting off that new man, putting off your own self-interests, and coming before God in the spiritual new man that you've got, okay? But it says in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So the Bible's saying, look, we don't really, you know, yes, we go to before God in prayer. We think we need these things. We need it answered this way. But really, we may not necessarily be asking exactly, you know, what God's ultimate will be for our lives. Okay? But then it says this, but the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession. Sorry, let me read that again. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible says the Holy Spirit intercedes. It's like we say something to God in prayer and the Holy Spirit catches it before it gets to the Father and He changes it a little bit. He changes it to be aligned with the will of God. And then it says in verse number 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, look at this, according to the will of God. So remember, our prayers get answered. We get what we want for, what we're asking for, if we pray in accordance to His will. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes even when in the Spirit, we're trying to seek God's will. We don't always necessarily know what we're after. But the Holy Spirit intercedes, gets a hold of that prayer, lines it up with the Spirit, with the will of God, and then it reaches the ears of the Father. And this is why sometimes we get prayers answered, and it's answered much better than what we initially wanted. Yeah, we were seeking something good and right, but it wasn't exactly God's will. The Holy Spirit steps in, changes that prayer. What He really meant is this, okay? This is how it lines up with your will. Reaches the Father's ears, and He says, of course, that's my will. Of course I'm going to answer that prayer. And it gets answered. And then we see it, and we get blown away. Wow. Man, that's even better than I wanted. Have you experienced that? Where you've gone to God in prayer and say, man, the answer was even better than what I really wanted. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit interceded at that point. Changed the prayer. Lined it up perfectly with God's will. And God said, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we'll answer that prayer. Prayer is powerful, brethren. You know, don't let it be something that falls off your life. You know, I regret so many times where prayer just fell off my list of things to do. How many times did I not experience, you know, the answered prayer that I should have, you know? And I love the fact that it invokes the triune nature of God. That when I go to God in prayer, we're before His throne, spiritually speaking, we're before His throne, in the Spirit, asking in Jesus' name, speaking to the Father. You know, our amazing God, who we would think is too busy to even listen to us. No. You know, He stops and He hears what we have to say. And if it's aligned with His will, He says, absolutely yes. You know what? And we can change the course of this world by simply praying. Praying in the right way. Praying for the right things. Praying for others. You know, putting the labor in. Putting the effort in. Spending time saying, Lord, I'm going to commit this hour, this half an hour, whatever it is. Even 10 minutes. You know, a good 10-minute prayer. That can be hard. You know, most of our prayers, if we're honest, might be just a few seconds long. You know what? If I was just speaking to my wife just a few seconds every day, we'd probably end up in divorce. You know, communication is important. God wants to be in fellowship with us. God wants to be close to us. God wants us to overcome our temptations. Prayer is powerful to accomplish all of these things. Okay, let's pray.